Hit it.
Love.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the overcast city of New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, a regular tinderbox if there ever was one. And joining me, our co-host, Christina Bricado with Truliant Federal Credit Union. Hey, Christina, how are you?
I'm great. Jason, how are you today?
I'm fine. And never far from our hearts and always in our minds, your buddy and mine, calling in today from Charlotte, North Carolina, on his way back home. He is Tough Talking Troy, the COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Hey, Troy, how are you?
I am doing wonderful. I just got my left brain totally filled up with information from this First Carolina Corporate Credit Union conference I was at.
Very good. And what's wrong with the right side of your brain?
Well, the right side will be next week when I get to go to the East Coast Marketing Conference with Christina, and we get to talk marketing, which will be the more fun side. So I'm filling up both sides of my brain, so this way I'll be able to fire on all gears. Tough Talking Troy will be totally ready to go.
All right. It'll be a first.
Woo, baby. Thanks for loving on me. Thanks.
Hey, so you got a little bit of an economic update. I wasn't there. Our audience probably wasn't either. So what do we need to know about the economic forecast for credit unions circa the latter part of 2011 and beyond?
Well, that's great. I'm just going to give you a few bullet points, some of the high points. This is from Steve Rick, the economist for CUNA, and so he presented this morning. And basically, the 2012, which will come as no surprise to anyone, is being predicted to be an extremely weak economy. So we're expecting really more of the same of 11. And some of this we got evidence from when the Federal Reserve made an unprecedented decision to actually hold rates and to tell everybody that they were holding rates through some portion of 2013. What he does expect, though, is that we could see a modest loan growth in credit union land. And when we say modest, we mean a conservative 2%. Now, there are some folks in CUNA that think maybe 6%. But that would really be pushing it. And the main reason that they even believe that there's going to be any kind of an increase is because of the pent-up demand for consumer lending that people have not exercised over the last 18 months. Their cars, they have let their cars go longer. They haven't replaced appliances. They haven't done some of those normal, durable, good purchases. And they're getting to a point when they'll need to be replacing them. So we will see some loan growth come from that. One of the other issues that we really have to pay attention to, come as no surprise to everyone, is the housing market. And what we definitely know is that August, we had a 30-some percent increase in the number of foreclosures that were actually being flooded into the market. Now, originally you go, oh my gosh, that's terrible, but it's actually a good thing because what it means is that the shadow market, which is those homes that are out there that should be coming into the market that have been delayed because of regulatory issues, are now actually being able to help us regulate the and bottom out housing prices, because we're really not going to see a turn in the economy until housing prices can start to recover. But the projection is looking more like a 7-year projection before housing prices will get to where they were 4 years ago, which would make it an 11-year trend, almost a lost decade of your house not being able to help you. Wow. But then again, on the other side of that, you get information today from the USA Today, which actually posted an article that talked about the 30-year mortgage is now at 4.09%, which is the lowest rate it's been since 1951. So we have a lot of issues that we have out there and that are just compounding the problems. But nonetheless, the future is that it's going to be somewhat better, but weak. And
right.
that's pretty much the message that we heard this morning.
Now, Christina, what do you think of when you hear that?
Well, it's actually a little bit scary for me as a homeowner, because I actually own a home not only in North Carolina but in California. And we've kind of been waiting for that market to turn around because we lost so much value in our California home. So to think that personally we're still going to be sitting on that home for a while before it can actually start helping us again, it's good to hear that it's thinking about heading in the right direction, but as a homeowner it's also a little bit frustrating, I guess.
Go ahead, Troy.
Oh, and I was going to say, and the other thing, too, is that we have to be careful, as every once in a while we hear things like, oh, housing prices are better than what they were before from the last month. And that's all really good news. But before you go taking that to the bank, you got to compare it to where it was at the all-time low, what you're recovering from, before you can decide to open the champagne bottle and celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've talked about it on this show enough. And, you know, like I tell people, you know, I'm 43 years old, so I can remember back in the mid-70s to late 70s, early 1980s, the economy was bad, not for 18 months or 2 years. It was basically bad for 6 or 7 years. And I've been saying consistently that people should kind of expect that to be the trend going forward. So, Troy, I appreciate you taking some time out of your – I know it's hectic when you're getting to the airport and going through the TSA shakedown and all that stuff. So we wish you the very, very safest of travels, and you will also be out – next week, potentially, at the marketing conference. Will you be able to join us on the show?
I am anticipating that Christine and I will be able to join you remotely and maybe even have another surprise guest or two with us.
All right. That will always be fun.
Actually,
yes.
I will be back in Winston-Salem on Friday. I'm only able to attend on Thursday. So.
Oh, well, there we go. So now we've got our plan all figured out.
Yep.
I'll figure it out. During the show, we figured out next week's show. Hey, listen, Troy, you travel safe. You be careful. God bless you. And I'll talk to you real soon.
Great. Thanks. See you guys.
Take care.
See you, Troy.
Bye.
You know, Christina, when you talked about that 11-year window, it dovetails very nicely into what we're going to talk about today. Think about a middle school or high school student today. Where are they going to be 11 years from now? They're going to be in the house buying market.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
And I think the question is, what are you doing right now to intentionally engage these young people? And I'll tell you, I think there's lots of great programs out there. I've said it over and over again. It's not for lack of trying. Credit unions have tried just about everything they can to make an impression upon young people. But myself, Scott and Ike are going up to Alaska in a couple of weeks to intentionally engage young people using the lyrical language of music. For 3 years, we've fused music, financial literacy, a live musical performance. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to our lead musician, Scott McKenna. He's out in Arizona now. And we're going to talk about this idea that a lot of people thought was actually very, very insane when we first started talking about it back in 2007. But about 20,000 students later, I think what Troy just said is that if you want to be there for your young people when the housing market comes back, what are you doing right now to get stuck in their long-term memory? And nothing, nothing stays in your long-term memory longer than the power of music. And so when we get back, we're going to join Scott McKenna, and we'll talk about that, and we'll do it right after this.
You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live to talk, 646-915-9274.
All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show, where the talk is hot and the hosts are
hotter and cuter.
Hotter and cuter, absolutely. And if that voice sounded familiar, people, it's because it belongs to our good buddy Scott McKenna, who joins us today from Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing well. It's sunny here in Austin. I I always appreciate the crowd being so friendly.
Well, you know, they love the guests. They love Troy. They love Christina. But I basically have to set myself on fire to get the studio audience to give me any love. So
they're really tough on you.
They're very tough on me. But I can take it. I can take it. All right, Scott. 3 years ago in May, myself, you, and Nike went up to the CFCU Pavilion up in Brookings, Oregon, and put on the first ever concert for financial literacy. 3 years later, in some ways, it feels like a big triumph for me that we're going north of the lower 48 to Anchorage, Alaska, on behalf of CU1. When I think back on that day in the gym there in Brookings, did you ever think we'd end up going to Anchorage, Alaska?
No. I mean, when we landed in Brookings, Oregon, I never thought I'd be in Brookings, Oregon. Then when we got to Portland, Oregon, I never thought I'd be there. And it's been a whole kind of a really, really interesting, actually, all the places we've gone to and how no matter where we've gone, we've been getting the same response from everyone of why didn't we think of this and why did we wait so long to do it?
Exactly. Christina?
I was actually curious if, because we're actually kind of thinking about it, as you go through this process, what exactly are credit unions doing step by step to get a concert for financial literacy set up?
Well, the first thing they do is they recognize the need to do something radically different. We don't have to tell you that young people do not get up in the morning and go out to the driveway and get the newspaper. They don't really listen to a lot of AM, FM radio or watch a lot of television. And so if you ask yourself, what's the best way to get in front of, 300 kids, 1,000 kids, we've played to 3,000 kids at one time, the best way is to find them where they are, which is in school, and do like an assembly. And, if you think about back when you were in high school, would you rather go to a classroom, three-ring binder presentation of financial literacy or go to a rock concert? And, Scott just said the response has always been incredibly positive. We've got great video out there to prove it. But, I mean, when you think about, the people that do this, the credit unions that do this, I always say this, every time somebody does it, it is a victory for common sense. Because it just makes sense. And Scott, you've been there at so many of the shows. When we first started, were you surprised or were you pretty confident that the kids were going to respond as favorably as they did?
I think it was kind of mixed. I mean, I like to think that obviously whenever Nike and I are performing, the people will enjoy the music aspect of it. But I also I was pretty positive that they would kind of enjoy the whole concept as well. Because, I mean, I know personally when I was in high school, if anything got me out of class, I was going to be excited. Nonetheless, a full concert. So I think that's what the biggest thing here is. It's not that we're just doing it for a good cause and that realistically it's bringing great recognition to the need to, be financially literate. Because if you look at young kids today and you look at debt today, it's clear that people need obviously some direction. But the fact that we can do that in a really exciting way, I mean, the kids just absolutely love it. And I mean, it's just, I think, like you said, it's a win. It's a win for everyone because everyone kind of gets something out of it. But at the same time, it's all going toward the strict need of just kind of making people aware of how important it is to finance your money. Because I wish I would have had this kind of direction earlier, because when I was younger, like most kids, I got myself in some trouble with money and now doing great as far as, debt and all that kind of stuff. And it's been great.
Christina?
I was just thinking about that. And so after the students attend one of the concerts, what happens afterwards? How do you keep that motivation going?
Well, a lot of the schools will follow up with a more of a traditional, classroom-based financial literacy program. But when we did the first show in Oregon, the credit union actually purchased – Scott, did they purchase 500 or 1,000 of the CDs? I can't remember. I think they might have purchased 500 CDs, and they gave them all out.
Yeah.
They could have given 1,000 away. And so a few years later, Scott hit upon an idea that we should have – some download cards with Scott and Nike's music on it that we could give to the kids, and that those download cards would then enable the credit union to have a very, very easy to measure marketing item. When the kids download that music, the credit union knows to the second when that young person downloaded the music, which, oh, by the way, has a little quick hit advertising at the end as the song is fading out. And so that's one of the things they get to do going forward. They get to start collecting great contact information on this young demographic for use later. You know, it's like I was saying last week, one of the mistakes I think we sometimes make in marketing is assuming that young people want to be friends with our banks and credit unions. I think sometimes an event like this stays in their minds much, much longer than any kind of commercial or advertisement they're going to see on television or radio. Wouldn't you agree, Scott?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you were to see some of the commercials for some of the local bank, you know, it's different. It's, you know, we're not talking about, you know, the big banks and credit union things that you're seeing, but the local ones that are, you know, struggling to try to get this. I mean, the commercials that they would put on TV are just terrible, and they
terrible.
Definitely
they're
not
terrible.
Getting the attention of who they're trying to get.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure the teachers and staff get really pumped up as well. What kind of feedback are you guys getting from them?
Well, they love it. You know, we've talked over and over about that with them as well, and they love it because I think everyone, like I said, everyone's aware that people need to become more financial literate, but the tough part about the topic of money is that truly it's, you know, usually a pretty boring subject to talk about. It's hard to figure out how to talk about it, how to make it so that it's exciting, but people still listen. And, you know, you can do a 2-hour presentation in an auditorium about money and you may not get people very excited, but the way we tie it in where we do some songs, get people excited, and then maybe someone comes up and talks a little bit about it. And then when we talk personally about experiences, I think just the approach we're doing, it just makes it so much more unique that the message is getting out, but at the same time, we're not just, you know, throwing up a PowerPoint for 2 hours and talking bullet point to kids that are tired in the morning in general. You know, we're waking them up and then giving them a good message.
Yeah, and the nice thing about it is, you know, it's like I said earlier, nothing stays in your long-term memory longer than music. It's just something, you know, I can't remember half the conferences I've been to, what the speakers said, but you go ask anybody that's been to one of our, you know, presentations or performances at one of our conference events, and I guarantee you they can remember the songs that were played. And it's the same thing with the young people, you know, and Scott said it, you know, when you're in high school, the best thing about high school is when you get out of class in high school. And so that's one of the big components here. And the kids come in, they enjoy obviously getting to have something that is entertaining and informative, but most importantly, we inspire them to think about the credit union as the place. I mean, you know, Christina, you just heard Troy talk about some pretty grim economic news. And mm-hmm. I've always challenged people to answer this question. Since you're in the marketing department at a fairly gigantic credit union, I mean, what is the monetary equivalent of getting the cool factor amongst all these young people? I don't think you can put a dollar amount on that.
No, I don't think you can.
I mean, we can.
And
we
I think that's our biggest thing, too. Is what we're doing is it's not like we're not going there for the first time for these concerts and passing around application forms to join the credit union. What we're, you know, the very first time, the biggest battle that people are getting that credit unions deal with is just simply what you said, getting kids to know they can even join the credit union. Because
exactly.
The only reason I joined a credit union when I was young is because my dad was did marketing for credit unions, so I was aware of what they did. But you ask most kids my age, I talk to friends and I ask them about a credit union because my wife also works at one, and they probably will say, isn't it like a bank or something like that, which you know what it is. And I think Jason's talked about it too, that I think it would be awesome that if credit unions just, you know, stopped comparing themselves with banks and just said, hey, you know what, that is the kind of thing we do, but we just do it a heck of a lot better and here's why, and make themselves look cool and stop just to,
exactly.
You know.
Stop saying banks are bad. Stop saying banks are bad. Stop saying we're not like a bank, because honestly, most young people, number one, their attention span isn't long enough to hear a dissertation on the difference between banks and credit unions. They just want to know that you're going to be there for them. And what we always talk about with the credit unions is you shouldn't expect an immediate return on that investment. But down the road, 10, 11 years from now, it only takes a handful of young people saying, you know what, I remember this credit union said they had car loans and mortgage loans and first-time loans for people like me. And the name of that credit union was Truline or South Carolina or CU1 or AmeriChoice or Checco or any number of the credit unions that we've worked with this approach. But anyway, Scott, listen, I'm looking forward to joining you up there in Anchorage in about, 10, 11 days. I'm as excited as I've ever been.
Yeah, something like that.
And,
absolutely.
I know you'll be ready. If you guys want to, if you heard the first song, we're talking about a live performance, and in the background, some of the work I'm doing is on a training program called The Power of Performance. And one of the first things I talk about is how you've got to start strong. And when you hear that song come on at the beginning of our show, that's a song called Just the Beginning that Scott McKinnon, Nike Van Wyck, wrote. And I begin every day that way with my weights or on the treadmill. Great, great song. And Scott, if they want to hear some more of your music, how can they find it?
Best place is to get it on iTunes. I mean, there's some physical stores, very few anymore, that even sell CDs. But the best thing is to get it on iTunes or just visit my website, just scottmckinnon.com. It's got it all on there as well. But I'll be going back in the studio very soon for a full length with Nike, so we're very excited about that.
And they can also download the Scott McKenna app, which I have on my iPad, actually.
Absolutely.
Hey, listen, Scott, man, you take care, and I'll look forward to seeing you in just a couple of days.
All right, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Hey, take care. Hey, Christina, when we come back from the break, we got a special surprise. We are also joined, he just called in, by our master violinist, Nike Van Wyck, who's going to join us as well, and we'll do it right after this. All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, where the talk is hot and the hosts are... Hotter and cuter. I think I accidentally just muted. I actually muted Christina's mic. I'm sorry about that, Christina. That's just my natural tendency, because generally, you know, I'm doing my best to try to mute Troy whenever I can on the radio program. So that's
we won't tell him that.
We won't tell him. Hey, listen, we're joined now by somebody you do know. He has the rare combination of being a really tall, talented dude. His name is Nike Van Wyck, and he joins us from Allentown, PA. Hey, Nike, how are you?
Good. Good afternoon. At least over here in the East Coast, how's it going?
Hey, we're doing great. We're talking about Concerts for Financial Literacy. What were your impressions of the show we first did back in Brookings in 2008?
I thought it was an amazing performance. It was definitely a cool concept, and I think the kids, and not only the kids, but I know we got on here a little late, but I know the kids all had texted parents and other members of the community, and they all enjoyed it and thought the participation and everything was through the roof. It was an amazing performance.
You know, Christina, that was one of the unintended consequences of the first event we did. Brookings is a very small town, and the kids were actually texting their parents and friends and stuff like that. And when the concert was over, there was probably an additional 100 people along the sides of the walls that had just come in based upon those phone calls and texts. So that was pretty.
That's great.
That was cool.
And that's, you know, the word of mouth, or I guess the word of texting, that's priceless.
Absolutely.
Well, when we're going to... You remember Christina, don't you?
Absolutely.
It's been a while since Nike and I have been in the same room together. So
It has been. Two different events, but it's been a while. So.
Yeah.
It has been a while. We have to get back out there and see you guys. Nike's not terribly far from North Carolina. Nike, one of the things that I remember most about the concerts that we've done is that a lot of kids have never heard or even seen an electric violin. And to me, that is one of the coolest things about our show. And for those of you that are wondering, our arrangement is Scott sings and plays the acoustic guitar. He's got a pretty wide variety of pedals, and he can do all kinds of crazy looping and stuff like that. And, of course, Nike plays the electric violin. And I always kind of compare these two guys to my favorite band, Rush, which is only three people. But, man, they used to make an awful lot of noise. And these two guys can put out pretty big sound. What kind of questions do kids normally ask you after the event about the violin?
Well, first of all, it's not even just the kids. I mean, there's a ton of adults out there who have never seen an electric violin, and the number one question everybody asks is it's either what instrument is that, or is it a fiddle or a violin? So, I mean, everybody's very interested in what it is and how you get so much sound out of a little instrument.
And that's my point, Christina. Nobody comes up to anybody after a financial literacy seminar and says, were you using PowerPoint or Keynote? Was that a three-ring binder, or did you have that, you know, bound up at Kinko's? It's just a completely different. And like we tell people, we're not going to argue about this. I mean, when you think about the explosion of musical-based video games, all these shows, you know, I was watching a little conversation on LinkedIn the other day about focus groups. And sort of like, what do you do for focus groups? And my answer was, I pay attention to what's going on in my family and at my son's school. And also, this is going to sound kind of crazy, some days, Christina, don't laugh, I will actually watch 30 minutes of Nickelodeon or 30 minutes of Disney just to see what kind of advertising young people are getting. And it is all musically based. All the shows are musically based. And that's why we say it's a victory for common sense every time a credit union does this. Nick, what are you looking most forward to about the Alaska trip?
First of all, I hear Denali Park is a beautiful performance.
Yep.
Yeah, so I've never been out that way. There's plenty of things in Alaska. It's like in some ways the last frontier for the U.S. You know what I mean? So it's there's besides just the performance, just the beauty of the scenery, and it sounds like the people, the credit union, the employees, and everybody are really looking forward to it as well. So looking forward to just about everything in that performance there.
And Christina, we're doing a show at West High School on Wednesday, but then on Thursday afternoon, we're actually going to go do an event for the entire Clark Middle School. And this is a school that is in a bit of a economically depressed part of town. They don't get a lot of performances. This is going to be a huge public relations win for the credit union.
Absolutely.
And combining it with music, I mean, it's like I tell everybody, if you can get in front of more Gen Nexters than us next week, send me the video. And guess what? Nobody ever sends me the video. So, Christine, do you have any other questions for Nike before we let them roll?
No, I don't think so. It's good to hear his voice again.
Yes, it is. Hey, Nike, I know you're busy doing lots of musical stuff. What's going on with you in your musical world these days?
Oh, well, doing a lot of traveling. I've been working on a lot of Christmas music lately. I know it's hard to fathom. It's the end of August, early September. But been traveling a lot. Actually, Christina, I'll be coming down to Virginia in about another, actually right after Alaska, I'll be down in Virginia. Maybe I can stop by. We can catch up over some lunch or something. It'd be great to see you.
Sounds good.
But just always traveling, everything, so.
Well, listen, man, I'm looking forward to seeing you. You're coming down to San Antonio next week. I think it's Thursday or Friday, so I'm looking forward to seeing you. I know Evan and Suzanne will be looking forward to having a house guest. And yeah. Hey, and I'll talk to you real soon.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Take care. Hey, when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show, talk about what's happening next week, and we'll do it right after this. Back on the Radio Free Credit Union show, where the talk is hot and the hosts are
hotter and cuter,
and unmuted this time. Like I said so many times, it is not for lack of trying. You know, with 2 minutes left in the show, it's not for lack of trying. Credit unions have tried everything. You know, they've done their best, and I just think when we came upon this idea, and you know, Scott and Nike, in addition to being very, very big advocates for credit unions, they are also businessmen and entrepreneurs in their own right, and so they're able to talk to the credit union about their experience, to the audience about their experiences as young guys dealing with money, and it makes a very, very personal event that much better, a very, very informative event that much better. What do you think are some of the other things that credit unions should be doing to engage that generation next, especially based upon what we just heard from Troy?
Well, I think there's always something to be said for doing something new and innovative and different that doesn't seem like the everyday run-of-the-mill checking account or auto loan, something that meets their need for, I don't want to say for themselves, but they're a little bit me-oriented, so making something of your products that's special for that group will really attract them to you.
Yeah, I agree. And if you guys want to see some of the great videos that we've done at some schools, Check out our YouTube channel, Eloquent Online. I mean, youtube.com/Eloquent Online. You'll see all kinds of examples of these concerts. You'll see the unbridled enthusiasm of the young people. And I'll tell you, when I first did the show, Christina, in Brookings, I'm not going to lie to you, I was nervous. I was a little nervous. I wasn't sure how the kids were going to respond. And I wish I had left this video up there, but there's a scene where we're interviewing one of the student performers, the winner of the talent show. And behind her, the gym is literally shaking. The place is literally rocking. And I'll tell you what, I'm proud of the body of work that we have behind us. We always tell people, judge us by the company we keep. We work with great credit unions that have a great outlook on the future. And I think right now, it's not what you do at the end of the recession that allows you to survive it. It's what you do right now. So we'll keep talking about that. Hey, Christina, we look forward to joining you next Friday. I hope you have a great, great weekend.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk to you then.
You too, Jason.
Talk to you soon. Take care, everybody.
Bye.